What's good? Welcome back to the Pop Off Podcast, a conversation show about the biggest night in movies, the 96th Academy Awards. The Oscars were tonight, and they're on ABC. Really good telecast, I thought. I'm your host, Ralph Campiano, and I'm joined by my co-host, as always, Mike Cerrone, and by our favorite feature on the Pop Off Podcast Network, Bordy B. Bordy, you know, we sat down, we watched this event tonight. A little less than 3.5 hours. Usually the show is north of 3.5 hours. So I thought the timing and the pacing was really good. Did you enjoy this? Did you have fun watching the Oscars tonight as a 24-year-old male in America?
Yeah, I thought it started a little early. You know, I left work. Mm-hmm. I start to shower and I'm like, oh, fuck, the Oscars are already on. So I obviously don't shower. I've just been wallowing in my filth since work. But yeah, the Oscars were a good watch. It wasn't as entertaining as the Grammys, you know, because the Grammys, you got like constant music. And I'm obviously not much of a film guy. But I like how, like you said, it was a well-produced event. Like, I like how they showed the movies like on the big screen, kind of split up. It was artsy. And, you know, it's kind of it's the movie guys. That's what they're known
loves
for.
Loves an artsy.
Yeah, that's the event.
An artsy, you know? Award show, don't you?
Well, that's kind of what like the pretentious ass Oscars people like to see, you know. It's kind of all about like sound, picture,
gotta be bougie
production. Yeah,
yeah,
it's the movie side of things. Gives you a little behind the scenes of how many people are actually involved in this shit.
Yes, I think that it's been more pretentious in previous years. This is probably the most commercial that the Oscars have been in a long time, just because they did have the Barbenheimer thing going for it. A lot of people knew going into this that Oppenheimer, which was, you know, a $1 billion movie last year, it was going to win a lot of awards. So people were like excited about that. And then Barbie didn't win any awards tonight, except for, I guess, technically one.
Really?
For Billie Eilish and Phineas. They won original song, yeah, for What Was I Made For. But, you know, Greta didn't get nominated for director. Margot wasn't nominated for best actress. And so they didn't win screenplay, which they were nominated for. America Ferrera didn't win for best supporting actress.
How did Margot not even get a nomination for that?
Like,
she literally
played
a fucking plastic doll.
And when you look at the best actress category, it's like, you're telling me there wasn't room for Margot Robbie here when you have, you know, I love Sandra Hüller. I thought she was great in Anatomy of a Fall, very deserving. Lily Gladstone, obviously deserving. Carey Mulligan, totally deserving. But Annette Bening is just a person that we did not need to be nominated in this category.
Naiad
was maybe one of the more boring movies that I watched. So it's just like, it's Margot Robbie. And you already had her superstardom because she was going to be there, but she wasn't involved in the show at all. On the contrary, mm-hmm. Ryan Gosling was very involved in the show, and that's a huge plus for the Oscars. That's one of the best celebrities that we have going right now. Like, he is just a ball of charisma. He's so fun.
He clears on just Ken. And absolutely clears Gyllenhaal.
Yes, 100%. Like, I at this point in time, I think that he's...
I thought they were the same person, and now I know. Like, fucking Gosling
totally different.
Clears Gyllenhaal. Yeah.
I love Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, he was brilliant tonight. I'm Just Ken was just like one of the highlights of the night. But I want to start with Oppenheimer first and foremost, because it won 7 awards. All right, so it won in big categories too. Best picture, obviously. And we can talk about the delivery of Al Pacino announcing Oppenheimer's best picture, because it was pretty anticlimactic. Christopher Nolan won for best director. Cillian Murphy won for best actor. We'll talk about that too. Robert Downey Jr. finally wins for best supporting actor. And then it won best score. So it was Ludwig van Göransson, best editing, and best cinematography for Hoyte van Hoytema. So, you know, 7 big categories: editing, cinematography, score, and then the 4 like kind of bigger ones for the males. That was huge. We said it on the pre-show call. The last time that a movie really dominated an award show like this was Parasite in 2019. And I think that it's totally deserving of it. I think that Oppenheimer was the best movie last year. So it was just kind of cool to see it get that recognition. Like, you know, this is a subjective sport. This is, we don't have an NBA finals for this. There's no Super Bowl. This is what it is. And it's all of your peers in the Academy. And they finally accepted the fact that, you know, Christopher Nolan, for like, I think a lot of people our age absolutely adore him and love him. But I think he's been pretty shut off by a lot of these Academy members who are a little bit more pretentious, because they were like, okay, you like to play with science fiction toys and make things sound cool and whooshy, but have you really made anything meaningful? And then he makes Oppenheimer, which I think is probably his most meaningful film. And he's like, yeah, motherfucker. And the beautiful thing about it was, for best director, Steven Spielberg was the one who announced the award. Obviously, like the face of Hollywood for the last 50 years, him and Scorsese. And especially from a blockbuster standpoint, it's been Spielberg. And he literally passed the torch to Nolan. So just a really, really cool moment there.
And like you said, it is subjective. Not one of my favorite movies. Just not really my style. I prefer like Killers of the Flower Moon. Yeah, it was just like a lot of cuts. Couldn't keep up with it. It couldn't get to know the characters. Like,
interesting.
I kind of scoffed at Downey Jr. when, and I know he was the favorite, but I swear he had like 25 minutes of screen time in that. Like they had literally 100 people in it, and everybody just had like one scene. I'm like, what is going on here?
It's funny you say that, Bordy, because I was like, yeah, Matt Damon was almost more of a support.
Thought you were going to pop up in the next scene. Like, who's next?
I'd kill for that. But yeah, I thought Matt Damon was actually going to be I thought Matt Damon was a better supporting actor than
Totally agree.
I mean, Downey Jr. He didn't have as much screen time in the movie. I feel like his character though was way harder to play and grasp, to where Matt Damon was in there pretty much the whole time, but it's a little bit easier of a character to play, because like Downey's character is just like, there's a lot of regret and this like internal battle and jealousy, like just kind of crazier, but
envy.
Ton of envy. I don't know. I thought, because Matt Damon wasn't even up there for supporting, was he?
Wasn't nominated. And the interesting thing is that
kinda stinks.
The difference between those two performances, or really the roles in the movie, is that Damon is always playing off of Killian. You rarely see Damon without Killian. I don't know if you ever do see Damon without Killian.
Yeah, probably
but
never.
You never, like, you, the ones with Robert Downey Jr., he's leading those scenes. Like, he's the movie star in a lot of those scenes, if it's like with Eichenberg or whoever it might be. So I thought he was deserving of it. I think this could be like, there's the term, the legacy Oscar. Like, he'd been nominated previously, and sometimes they give an Oscar to somebody who, like, Renee Zellweger won a couple of years ago for her portrayal of Judy Garland in a biopic, and like nobody was like, that was the best performance by a female that year. But I'm not sure. Like, I mean, you look at the other nominations here. You have Robert De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon, who did not look like he wanted to be there tonight at all. Every time the camera cut to him, he was like, let's wrap this bullshit up. Why am I here?
Been there so many times. Like, is, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the same old song and dance for him, I feel like. And dude, Martin Scorsese, man, isn't he just the cutest little old man?
Cutest old man.
I don't know why. Like, dude, he just always has this little twinkle in his eye, and he's kind of smiling, and like, that's like the definition of like this cute little grandpa. An absolute wizard. An absolute genius, but like, yeah, dude,
got
he cracks me up.
Zero wins for Killers of the Flower.
We'll talk about that. And he just loves movies so much. So this is like one of his favorite nights of the year. You know it. Like, he doesn't care about the politicking as much anymore. He's won Best Director before. He's won Best Picture before. It's not that big of a deal to him at this point in his career. Right now, he's just an advocate for movies. The other nominees were Ryan Gosling in Barbie, who I thought was the best performer in that movie. Him and Margot, neck and neck. I thought he was brilliant in it. Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things, which we'll definitely talk about. He was fucking awesome in that movie. A total departure from a lot of other things that he's done. And then Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction, which I just watched this past weekend. Really good in that. Like, Sterling K. Brown is never bad in anything.
He killed it.
No. You know, RDJ walks away with it. And, you know, I think that this is like a really interesting moment, especially for movies, because, and not just like, like movies as a whole, right? This is a guy who played Iron Man almost exclusively for about 14 years of his career. He is the, I think that, you know, there was rumors like Tom Cruise might have been Iron Man. That was like an original casting what if, was that he was like supposed to play him. God, and then RDJ got that role. And he kind of brings the comedic element to all of the Marvel movies. And he really kicks off, you know, 14 to 15 years of just Marvel dominance in blockbusters. And you can credit him for that, but you can also blame him for that, because it kind of changed the trajectory of where movies were going as far as like how big budgets were being used. Cord Jefferson, who won Best Adapted Screenplay for American Fiction tonight, said, if you're a studio, you should learn a lesson from this, that
I love
if you
that.
Have a, if you have $200 million in your budget this year, don't blow it on one movie and CGI effects. Instead, make, you know, 10, $20 million movies. And I just thought that was brilliant. So RDJ, like, he's going from that world where I don't think he feels guilty because he made all that fucking money. You know, it bought him a house in Brazil and France and wherever the fuck he wanted.
He must have made fucking hand over fist.
Unbelievable amount of money, yeah. Right? But now he's transitioning into this latter part of his career where he's working with Christopher Nolan. He's going to be in a HBO series, which we're going to talk about on here this year, that I'm very excited about. It's kind of like a Master of Disguise detective series with Park Chan-wook, who's a very interesting Korean director, but it's going to be in English on HBO Max. He's going to be awesome in that. So I think this is we can point to tonight as like the night that Hollywood got like their movies back, our movies, not Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, but Oppenheimer and Barbie, like these big budget movies that actually mean something rather than CGI bullshit that makes me want to fucking throw up and walk out of the theater.
Well, I think the Marvel shit's coming to an end, Viv, luckily for you. They've completely ate shit with this new universe. Has there ever been something Marvel? Dude. I guess, yeah, there was Black Panther nominated when we were going through the best picture list. Is that the only Marvel movie
ever? There's never any superhero movies on the
Batman? Did the Batman nominations ever sneak on something?
So Dark Knight was, so that was the year. What's interesting about that is that's, you know, another Christopher Nolan movie. We used to only have 5 movies nominated for Best Picture, and the year that Dark Knight came out, it wasn't nominated. And people were kind of pissed off about that because they're like, that was one of the 5 best movies I saw last year.
Definitely.
So then they transitioned.
The best movie of the year consensus back then, you know?
Right. So then they went back to 10 nominees, and I want to say Endgame was nominated. It doesn't look like it was. So that's interesting, Bordy. Good point. Black Panther is the only one that's actually been nominated for Best Picture.
Kind of.
Sure, so like the DC movies, but that's a totally different kind of movie than a Marvel
movie. So DC's kind of killing it compared to fucking Marvel.
Well, not from a budget standpoint, but I guess from an award standpoint, you could say that. The other thing I want to talk about with Oppenheimer is Nolan. You know, I struggle with it because like I love a lot of his movies so much, but then I always feel like it's almost try-hardy at points. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, okay, like he's kind of wrapped himself in a knot and he can't really untie it. And I think that this movie, Oppenheimer, it doesn't have any of those knots for me. I had no problems following it, Bordy. Maybe I wasn't as high as you when I saw it, but
I was also watching a video of somebody in the theater recording it.
Okay, so yeah, that's where you're going to run into a problem. You didn't see it the way Christopher Nolan intended. You got to go to the theater to see this movie.
It's just like Dune. You watched a bootleg. Yeah, I watched a bootleg on a bootleg Fire Stick, and I had zero idea what was going on.
You gave it no chance. That was a setup for failure.
Yeah, and I get it, but also, I mean, nothing really stood out for me with it. I mean, it obviously Best Picture of the Year. Congrats!
If you watched it in an IMAX theater,
I had way more fun watching Barbie, and I watched Barbie the same way.
Really.
That's fair.
There's a lot more.
Yes.
That in the IMAX Oppenheimer was. You can't watch a better movie. Cannot be displayed better.
You know what it is? It's like you see like the video of Kanye and Jay-Z performing Blink in Paris, and you watch it on YouTube. It's like the difference between going and watching that on YouTube and actually going to Paris and seeing them perform it. It's totally different. Like they're rattling your fucking ass. Like just, I was talking about this with a colleague earlier this week, actually. The brilliance on the sound design in Oppenheimer isn't just the sound that they use. Like the score is amazing. I will listen to the score when I wake up. I think it's so inspiring, but it's also the non-use of sound. Like that moment when the bomb goes off and you can hear a pin drop in the theater.
Absolutely quiet. Yeah.
And it's complete silence for like 7 or 8 seconds because that's what actually happens when a bomb drops. Like it's the thunder and lightning thing. And then you just feel this
crazy visuals too.
Oh, like crashing and everything.
Yeah, when Killian's having nightmares and he's having all these, they're the quantum, you know, lines and the atoms. And yeah, I don't even know how you make that, but it was just like, yeah, that on an IMAX theater is going to blow your mind compared to
They didn't show anybody's flesh burning off.
No, and that's actually been a point of conversation
a in the
recently.
Podium scene when he walks from the podium and he's
but
stepping
that's imagination. They're not actually showing him dropping on Hiroshima or anything.
You wanted to see that.
I wanted to see the scale of that from like space.
Real nice.
You know, I wanted to grasp it kind of, and I still didn't grasp it. He's like, oh yeah, he's toying with all these numbers, creating this fucking murderous weapon.
I'm not sure it's the actual concept of the actual grasp. Like when you see the bomb, it's more about what the bomb means to the world. It's like, okay, it's that classic line that he has. It's like, they won't understand the power of it until they can use it. So they have to be able to use it to understand the power of it. And then they use it and they have an understanding of it. And they're like, we can never do this again. like literally ever.
It's like first time you do anal.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, he's got to learn for same himself that thing. Anal isn't the best.
This is, people hype this up way too much.
But I think RDJ actually illustrates that at one point in the movie. He shows you the difference between an atom bomb and a hydrogen bomb with what's that old thing like where you have a pencil and you trace a circle? I can't remember what those are called. But it shows like, yes, protractor. Thank you.
He shows you the difference between the two.
And he's like, dude, the hydrogen bomb is like 100 of these atom bombs. But I wanted to ask you guys this. Bordy, I assume he's not one of yours. Or maybe he is. I'm not sure. I don't want to make a presumption. But this moment, does this increase Nolan in your mind at all? Like, does this like make him leap to like, this is my favorite director now? Because for me personally, like, I think he's firmly in my top 5 or 6 favorite directors now, especially with this movie, but also this win and knowing what it means to everybody else.
I'd give him a strong 8. Like, I don't think he's one of the goats yet, but he's
number 8 for you.
Yeah, he's an all-star, like for sure. He's a probably Star, even a first team all NBA. No, he's so first team like all NBA.
Michael Bay and his Transformers movies, number 1. Then Tarantino.
No, Sandler's number 1. He's the GOAT, obviously.
The GOAT director, Sandler. Okay.
Hey, Sandler.
Yeah.
I'll accept that.
I think he directs his movies. I don't really know. But honestly, I would have to pull up a best director's list. I couldn't name
it's PTA is number 1 for me. He's always going to be number 1. Scorsese and Tarantino are 2 and 3. Fincher's 4. Villeneuve and Nolan are climbing that list. I love older directors like Sidney Lumet. He's one of my guys. I could come up with the Coen brothers, Francis Ford Coppola. But I think that
Nolan's not above any of those guys for you?
I think he's above Lumet. I haven't seen all of Lumet's movies the way I've seen all of Nolan's movies, but he's not above Fincher. I like Bordy's point actually about Oppenheimer. You know, the spectacle of it, and this is, you could say the same thing about Dune. You know, they're very good at these spectacles, these big moments, these holy fuck, I will never forget seeing that in a theater. But there is a lack of humanity in a lot of their characters that I just don't connect with. Sometimes it feels like they're devices to move a plot forward. And that's why I loved Oppenheimer so much, because I actually understood the humanity of Killian's character, Robert, like J. Oppenheimer. Like, I understood him. But I'm not sure if I understood anybody else's, like, you know, like, what do they have for breakfast? What's their workout regimen like? Do they smoke cigarettes? Do they give a fuck about their family? I think Florence Pugh, I had a feeling with her, and then Killian. But I can't really say the same thing for a lot of his characters. Maybe McConaughey in Interstellar. But, like, I don't really, like, know what Leo is about in Inception. I just know that he's, like, dream diving, and that's really about it. But, like, with PTA, like, I know every single one of the characters that comes on screen. I know who that human is. Like, if it's Mark Wahlberg
and Boogie Nights, that out their the director.
Because they're the coach. They're the one that can bring this out to people and tell them to concentrate on these things. And he's also script writing on a lot of his own stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I think it shows that in the type of movies that Nolan makes, I just think he's not really like a dialogue guy.
Yeah, sure. Villeneuve said the same thing. Like, I'm here to, you're going to see and you're going to hear and you're going to feel, but it's not the same feeling that you get from watching Phantom Thread, where every time I watch Phantom Thread, I cry. Doesn't matter how many times I've seen it.
And that's just not my favorite type of movie. Like, when I watched Dunkirk in the theater, I left like, that was fucking terrible. I just got like
interesting
shot at for 2.5 hours.
I love Dunkirk.
Like, I was in a trench. But
crazy. So confirmed, not a Nolan guy. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think Nolan, I mean, I feel like for me, I mean, Tarantino is kind of,
it feels like it's for Tesla guys, like guys that drive Teslas.
Nolan is or Tarantino is?
Nolan.
Yeah, I feel that.
Tarantino's for guys that drive like Jeeps.
Tarantino's for guys that like write poetry.
Or not Tarantino.
I was going to say, drives like a beat up something. But yeah, he's not like the best. I think Tarantino is like all time, but I mean, dude, like Nolan, you can't like, yeah, Fincher, I let you know, Scorsese a lot too. They're all like, it's so hard too, because like then you have, it's almost like that big three, like Scorsese, Nolan, Tarantino, and they're all kind of like, yeah, it's kind of give or take. And yeah, it's also, I get where you're seeing from Nolan too. Like, he obviously directed a masterpiece, but you also have like, I mean, quite simply the best cast of all time,
And
which
that's a credit to him.
helps aid.
They want to
Yeah,
work
no,
with him.
exactly. I still feel like, yeah, you're right. You know, and that is just full circle. Yeah, I still feel like Tarantino just still has the golden.
Yeah,
I
give me
feel like if you're an
Tarantino and
actor,
Scorsese. That's the top two for me, just solidified.
yeah, no, I can agree with that. But Nolan, I mean, that this motherfucker hasn't missed much really lately. And you gotta get, he's definitely right there. I think if you ask any actor, if you could be in one movie with any director, it'd be Tarantino. Like, that's like probably 90% of the answers. But then, I mean, Chris, he's not that far behind, man. He's been right there. I feel like give him, I'm curious to see what he does next. That would be crazy. Also, Tarantino like famously said that he, you know, the movie critic is his last film. He might do a TV show or something, they were saying. I also
Did you
don't
guys see
buy
the
that.
rumor
I feel
about
like
it?
that's
Did
a
you guys see the rumor about the movie critic and what who the titular lead might be?
You're talking about with Leo? Isn't it
No,
Leo?
with Ter for Tarantino, he's the
Better.
titular lead, and this is, I don't know if it's real. It's been floating around Twitter
I
recently.
saw it too.
Hotto sent it to me right when he saw it. It's Shane Gillis. He might be the titular lead
Dude,
in the movie
no
critic.
way.
Bring comedy back. If Tarantino brings
That would be
comedy
the
back, dude.
smartest thing, Tarantino, because Shane Gillis is on fire right now for everybody. But I just don't know if that would throw off, if that might take you out of it though. If you're in this great movie and then you see Shane Gillis, because everybody's gonna think just like grilled cheese sandwiches, and I don't know, with that, I think that might take you out of it.
He
Or
could be
just
the
a
legit trying to think of like a
genius.
comparison for. I didn't know what the
Philip Seymour
comparison was
Hoffman.
because
Your
like it's
boy
not,
Philip.
but he was a dramatic actor first and then he went into
Oh.
comedies. But I was thinking Sandler and Punch Drunk Love with PTA. I think that's 2002, but he had been in movies before, right? He had already been in, you know, Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison and all the like Little Nicky, whatever. But he had been in movies. He had been on SNL. People were familiar enough with him. We only know Gillis as stand-up comedian right now and skit guy on YouTube. That's it. Like that's our only
You better take
association
some
with him.
acting classes quick.
Oh, you're yeah, no shit. And is there a better acting classes than learning or turn? But I think one thing about Nolan that we should say is, you know, he couldn't make Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but could
Nope.
Tarantino make Dunkirk or Oppenheimer? I'm not sure,
Fuck
right?
yes, in
So
his sleep. He could wake up and write a movie like that.
no, write a movie like that, but actually, like the actual filmmaking of these things, like, you know, a 3-hour story that is like, because that's one thing about Nolan is he is very anal with his scripts. Like Oppenheimer is so intentional that, you know, the bomb literally goes off at the exact like 2-hour mark in the movie. And then everything after that, it's like very clearly identified and split up into three parts, three acts. And so he's very good at that stuff. Like the actual mapping of things, like, I don't know if Tarantino could or even would want to do a Tenet. I don't think he would. Like that's just not his bag. But I don't think that Nolan could do, you know, Pulp Fiction. Like that's just not him. Like he doesn't. He's
Yeah.
not as focused on that granular human level. He wants it to be. He wants a plane. He wants to land a plane
There's not a
on
hint of
a tarp.
comedy in any of his movies.
There's a
With
little bit in
Nolan?
Tenet. There's a little bit in
Really?
Oppenheimer
I didn't
too.
see Tenet.
I never
But
liked
it's not
Nolan.
like laugh out loud funny, but like there are definitely like some comedic
Yeah.
moments. Like Damon is, I think, is pretty funny in Oppenheimer.
Tarantino's comedy is just
Yeah,
like
he's
the
the one.
chef's kiss though. It's yeah, his writing and
He's
his like,
hilarious.
yeah, dude, it's fucking perfect. And they're both, I think with Nolan too and Tarantino, like they're so intentional, like you were saying, like with their dialogue, with the words. Like, you know, there wasn't a single word said in Oppenheimer that wasn't written on that page. Like it's, yeah, dude, it's
Maybe you
so
should have let him go off the page a little bit.
yeah,
He's just out here hating,
some,
dog.
yeah, but with
It's
a
like they
movie
didn't
like
win
that,
Best
there's
Picture.
no,
Like they
yeah,
didn't deserve a
there's no
fucking
room for
Oscar.
improv, and like there's no wasted space. Whereas like Tarantino, yeah, they might be maybe a couple, a little bit here and there, but like, yeah, like there's just no wasted space. Like it's just fucking every
Tell
line
you what,
of it. It's just flawless.
Tarantino's Oppenheimer would have been a lot more fun.
Okay, boy.
It would have. Right. I don't know if it would have been better, but yeah,
and there
a couple
is one
giggles.
Director that I neglected to mention. I don't know why, but he is Nolan's favorite director, and it's Stanley Kubrick, who I think is probably the he might not be my favorite director of all time. He's definitely one of them, but I think he's
trip,
actually
though.
The greatest because
the
he could do both of those things. He could
he
do,
did do the moon landing.
Right. He could do the Oppenheimer of his time, which was 2001 A Space Odyssey. And he could also do, you know, Barry Lyndon and Eyes Wide Shut and A Clockwork Orange and all of these like very granular movies. So, you know, a genius. We should move on to some other parts of the Oscar. So we said Oppenheimer, big winner. The other big winner tonight was Poor Things. Have either of you guys had the chance to watch this movie?
Never
heard
of it.
Okay. Cerrone, just blanket thoughts on Poor Things.
It's awesome. It's nice. Such a wild, like, yeah, dude, I would have loved, honestly, for Mark to win, Mark Ruffalo to win a supporting role. That just sucks.
He's
this
so weird.
So, yeah. And the thing is, like, you know, for him, that's like, it's such a crazy role. There's like, yeah, he's super weird. There's like singing and dancing and like, that's just so not him. And it's also so, I mean, both of them played a character that like they had to take a huge leap of faith in that both probably like scared the shit out of them. Like they probably, but that's what like actors want. Like you want something that like makes you like shake in your boots a little bit. Like you want the challenge. You want like the, you know, something different. Like no one really wants to play a character that's like them in real life just because it's not as fun and it's just not as challenging. So for them to both take that leap and go for those, it turned out it's a crazy, like it won the visual, crazy effects, visuals, that it won all the costume and the makeup, both of those, right? The
four
costumes.
Awards. So production design, best costume, hair and makeup, mainly for Willem Dafoe and the makeup that he had on his face, which was hilarious and so weird.
But
then
all
best
of them,
actress
dude.
Was like, that was the upset like of tonight. Like that was the twist of the, like there's always one twist at the Oscars and you don't know when it's going to be. Lily Gladstone was like a minus 500 favorite going into tonight. She had won pretty much every single award leading up to this, the SAG Awards, the Golden Globe, et cetera, et cetera. And you could actually see the shock on Emma Stone's face when she won. She was like, whoa, what the fuck? She was like, no way. And then she goes up there. You can see the shock in the speech. And when she's naming the other nominees and thanking them and telling them how she admires them, she looks over at Lily. She's like, this is for both of us. And then the camera pans to Lily. And she's like,
yeah, for both of us. This is for both of us. No.
Yeah, she deserved it, though, dude. Like, imagine.
Don't hate on Emma Stone, Bordy. This is not the podcast to hate on my girl.
The clips I saw from that movie with her looked outstanding.
She's fucking amazing.
For her to play that, like, it's just that insane, just such a crazy character. Mm, yeah, she
so
deserved
hot.
It. But, yeah, I would have loved for Mark Ruffalo. I fucking love Mark Ruffalo.
He's brilliant.
I would have
Let
loved
me just
for him to
go
get
back
it over Downey Jr.
Bordy, do you know what the movie's even about?
No.
Okay, all right. So let me just pitch it to you, because I think this is your kind of movie. It's
sounds
about
pretty
a woman.
So
who Emma Stone
Mark
is.
Mark Ruffalo does have kind of a punchable face. Like you guys were hyping him up a little too much. He's,
no, but you, when you watch him in this movie, you're gonna want to punch him way more when you watch him in this movie. That's what's great about him. He like gives into
more
it.
More respectable. He's not trying to.
Yeah,
be like
no, he's not, he's definitely self aware. So Emma Stone plays a woman who has a woman's body, has Emma Stone's body, but she was previously in another life, you know, a different woman, and she's pregnant, and she kills herself, and the scientist, played by Willem Dafoe, finds her body in the river and he tries to bring her back to life. And he realizes the only way that he can actually do that is if he takes the baby's heart and brain and puts it in the mother's body. So he essentially does sexy Frankenstein with Emma Stone, brings her back to life. And she's like slowly
Hot.
Learning like the ways of the
yeah,
world.
Think
you
about
know, she's like 32 year old
play
woman.
That character.
Right. But
like,
she immediately comes
start,
40.
Dude.
Just the horniest person in the entire world. Like that is like her.
She has
her
a baby nation. Brain.
Yes, she just becomes a nymphomaniac like immediately. Like she figures out how to come, and she's like, "That's it. That's all I want to do." And it's just this very interesting look on the world, where like literally all she wants to do the entire movie. She calls it furious
it's
jumping.
Like that
is what she calls sex. So she's just like a nymphomaniac, becomes a prostitute, travels the world, you know, runs away from home. It's just brilliant. It's one of those creative things that I've seen, and the fact that the Academy actually awarded her for this is really inspiring because, like Cerrone said, that's a risk. When you get to Emma Stone's level, you don't have to take these risks. No, I think it was like $50 million, something like that. Maybe. I
take the leap.
But, like, you don't have to do these things when you get to her level. She's already won an Oscar. Like, she's good. Like, this is her second one. Now she's on track to, like, be the Meryl Streep of this generation, the Frances McDormand of this generation.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
I don't think she's, like, that attractive. Like, Bordy, you said she's hot. I think she's just a fucking brilliant performer.
She's the one in EZA, right?
Yes. La La Land. Yeah, that. Super bad. The Curse with Nathan Fielder, which is also really weird.
I like redheads. Poor Things could have very, very easily, like McConaughey says, like, it's not a risk if you don't got nothing to lose. If she sucks in that movie, Poor Things could have been a disaster. Yeah. Of a, just like
the worst movie I saw last year.
If that concept goes bad, man, it's just a laughing stock. Of it's like, what? There's a baby, and then she got born. Yeah, it could have sucked bad. But her and Mark, that's why, again, he should have won. Just, yeah, dude, it's getting – it won – it's just crazy.
Well, I was trying to think of when I saw it, like, is there another actress that could do this? And the only person that came to mind was Margot Robbie because of Babylon. Like, I thought of those two performances kind of hand in hand
with Emily Blunt.
Wednesday. Yeah. Jenna Ortega.
No, absolutely not. Ortega couldn't do this.
Lost.
I think Blunt is really gifted. I think she's gorgeous. I don't think she could do this. This is just like – like, this is an unteachable skill that she performs in this movie. Like, it's the most challenging role that I've seen her take. And it's like,
yeah,
she deserves. And that's no shot to Lily Gladstone. I think, like, but I do think that there are other people that could have played that role to the same effect as her. Now, they had to be Native American. They'd have to be
fine. She took a fucking L.
She did take the L. But, like, she, I think she's more deserving of, like,
the Flower Moon Girl.
Yes.
Damn.
Yeah, Molly Burkhart. Yeah.
She's not going to get in another movie ever again.
She'll get movies, but she probably won't get nominated again. And I think that's the difference between her and Stone. Stone is just like this naturally just perfect performer. And I think Gladstone's good. I don't think she's the best person in that movie. After rewatching it, I'm like,
she seemed kind of bitchy.
I'm like, this is Leo's movie. Like, this movie doesn't work without Leo.
Yeah.
Thanks. Agreed.
Okay. Some other people that we should congratulate. And just some, like, brief things on the Oscars, if you watch the telecast. Some good bits that I really liked. John Mulaney, he should be the next host of the Oscars. I thought Jimmy Kimmel did a really good job. But Mulaney comes out. I can't remember what category he presented. But he just did, like, a little mini stand-up bit, and it was perfect. Like, he talked about Field of Dreams.
They're going to keep him locked in a room these days.
He's really good.
Yeah, he just got out of rehab. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, they just got to keep him. I think he's in a four-wall room, all white walls, no furniture.
Let him go, baby, with Olivia Munn. Give him the drugs again.
No, he's good. He's living life. He's a child with Olivia Munn. He's like one of my, like, when we do movie chicks drafts, she will definitely be on that.
So that came after he got out of rehab? We don't need to go that deep into this. But
yeah, because
he baby came like went during, to rehab, I think.
Broke up.
Okay. So he divorced his wife like 3 or 4. We don't have to do a whole John Mulaney.
Oh my God. Did you just get that update? Did you guys just get that update?
Russell Wilson to the Steelers?
Yeah. Oh, that's God. Wow. That's hilarious. Bro.
We got to pivot.
Connor's so mad.
30 minutes for us and the Steelers.
We can do 5 minutes
Connor
on us and the Steelers.
Connor is livid. Connor Antonone is livid right now.
Any fear in your heart right now, Cerrone? As a Ravens fan, does this bring – nope, none? You going to bring future to every game now?
I in the AFC North, I fear Burrow. Joey B. Yep. That's it. Russ, what is Russ going to do? Just drag that team down. He's going to steal all their money just like you robbed the Broncos blind for who God knows how many million dollars in a one-year deal.
Free. Broncos are paying that whole deal.
Yeah, man. No, that's not – Russ, he was 5-6 years ago, yes, but now – he's got a family. He's kids. He's a god's man. He's not. Yeah. Wait till you meet the Ravens defense.
I bet they catch you guys once. I bet they get you guys.
No, they
once.
Will. Oh, they'll probably catch us twice, but still miss the playoffs. That's fine. I'm fine with that. Fair. I'd gladly lose to the Steelers twice and go to the Super Bowl. Fine. Yeah. Then beat them twice and fucking the Steelers always have our number. It is what it is. But that's hilarious. Russell Wilson isn't the answer.
Mr. Unlimited.
Bordy, is he a step up from Pickett?
Steelers Nation, let's ride.
He might be a step shorter, but he is a step up for sure. They just brought in Arthur Smith.
Is he, though?
Who runs a nasty play action game. Like, if you would have put Russ in Atlanta last year, they win the NFC South easy.
What are you smoking?
I kind of like the Devil's advocate
They were a game away from losing.
Russ misses throws. Can't scramble anymore.
It's hard to miss George Pickens.
You got
to
play off the play action. He had a good year last year. He had his best year in the past few.
He had Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, a great defense.
He's got
a good little five-game run.
He's got clones of those guys. He's got Pickens and Deontay.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think he –
if you're the Steelers, you don't want to grab – you know, you don't got to trade for him. You don't got to pay salary. Denver's paying everything.
I think I double down on Pickett, though. Build for a future.
You got a mentor with Pickett. Like, Pickett lacks
Russ is on his way.
All of that aura. Pickett lacks all the movie star aura. He's like the backup QB in one of those movies, you know? That, like,
yeah, I think Russ is just on his way down, though. That's catching him on his downslope. That's, as a Ravens
fan,
what
else are you going to do if you're Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh's kind of in a shit spot.
Now they don't have to trade for Fields. They don't have to give up, like, big time assets for Fields, which is interesting. They're essentially getting him for free. And I think that if there's anybody that can get something out of a light-skinned quarterback that's kind of dwindled past his prime, it's Mike Tomlin.
But you got to build the Steelers. You got to build for the future. Russ is going to give you what? He's on his way. He's done in a couple. Like, that's – I don't know.
You know how the Steelers operate. They're never a build-for-the-future organization. They're always like, let's just go win right now. Like, that's just how they're always going to operate.
And
they're
they haven't been winning right now.
They're not ready to give up on Pickett. Get a mentor.
They just start
Pickett might still be the starter. Yeah.
Pickett's a
backup, and you know it'll help out.
I bet if the Steelers
Pickett has bad injury issues,
it would have been way more
a second or third, pay him $15 million.
Yeah. The Steelers fans would have been way more excited.
You get a lot of hope. They would have been way more.
But that shows you. That shows you they still believe in Pickett. If they didn't believe in Pickett, I think they go for not a bridge quarterback. This is kind of a bridge thing.
It's true. That's true.
And who knows? Maybe like he has the Jared Goff experience, where like he gets a new offensive coordinator. It's a fresh start. Like, I mean, he definitely like. I don't like him as a person. I don't hate him as a quarterback. I do not like him as a person. I think he's annoying and weird and like very cliche and just odd. But I don't hate the idea of like giving him another chance. And
a point I got, a guy I listened to, he drew comparisons to Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner might not have been a Hall of Famer just with his stint in
the Rams,
St. Louis,
the
Rams,
Wilson?
Or wherever they were. Yeah, comparing Russ to Kurt. So Kurt doesn't
see the rings. Russ has got two rings. Was Russ have two or one?
One. I think he has one. Warner had one. He moves on, kind of sucks. Not a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
He goes to Arizona.
Yep.
And he gets that
Kurt
ring in one of the best Super Bowls ever.
Yep.
Turns him into a Hall of Famer.
No, didn't the Steelers beat them in that? I don't think Kurt Warner has a ring.
No, he won one with the Rams, didn't he not? Like early in his career.
Oh, okay. But then they lost against Pittsburgh.
Yes, they lost. Fitzgerald, Polamalu, Madden covered.
I think getting there and playing in that game got him in.
Yeah, I actually like the Warner Wilson comparison there.
Larry Fitz doesn't have a Super Bowl then?
No.
No.
God, that's sad.
I know, that is sad. He's been transitioning to tight end for like last 3 years
of
his career.
A lot of good players that don't get rings. It's fucked.
Best blocking receiver ever. All right, well, that was a good little like NFL bit right there.
Yeah, that was solid.
Good news.
I'm excited.
Back to the Oscars really quick.
We definitely gave it its time. Yeah.
We'll go to draft after we finish up here on the Oscars. We got to talk about I'm Just Ken Gosling's performance. Just deep dive it really quick. Him sitting there in the crowd in the custom pink Gucci outfit. He's right behind Margot Robbie and Greta. Just a perfect way to open. He walks up on the stage from his seat where he was sitting all night in his pink outfit. Mark Ronson, you know, the guy who made a lot of the music for Barbie, is playing the guitar. He like gives him like a little punch to the chin, just like a cute little what's up, bro punch. Then goes up to the stage. Dude, this guy, it is not fair how talented he is. Like the fact that his voice sounded immaculate. I was like, this is unbelievable. Some guy, dude, like married to Eva Mendes. Always
catches me so off guard.
Some can do like got the, it all, man.
Can do the very indie movies. Like he did Drive and he's like done all these, like he did La La Land, but he can also just be Ken, like literal Ken from Barbie. And it's like, you're automatically rooting against the guy because you're like, oh, he's playing stereotypical bro. Like there's no way he's going to be able, what does he do? He brings fucking Marlon Brando to the role. Like he's just perfect in it. And then he comes and he performs.
Is that the product of like kids getting into acting and like music classes early on? Or is that just somebody just born with both of it? Like born with
everything? It's a little bit of both. I think it's nature and nurture.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was always.
You're seeing a lot more of those, you know, Bradley Cooper. Like all of a sudden you find out he's a fucking amazing singer. And there's just a lot of those these days.
Yeah, he's also just a star. Like he, like Ralph said, there's some guys just like got it. Like you get, you can't learn how to be a star. Like he's just
like if Timmy Chalamet comes out and starts singing and dancing one day, I'd totally believe it.
Wonka,
oh, is he? Yes, he does. Yeah,
Wonka's very.
I will never see that movie.
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen Wonka either. Yeah, any music, it's just musicals are tough to get through.
I'd rather as a straight male, a big vat of chocolate that they have in the chocolate factor, like the Oompa Loompas fall into. Yeah, I'd rather
100%. That's a great way to go. It's a great way to go. Just drowning chocolate in chocolate.
The other best bit of the night was the John Cena bit. You know, they.
Oh, can someone explain that, dude? Because I didn't. Saw a picture of that. He looked actually naked.
So 45 or 50 years ago, there was a streaker at the Oscars, and it's like, you know, very famous. Like they have a bit in the museum about it. And so Kimmel's joking about it. He's like, you know, it's the anniversary of the streaker. So wouldn't it be weird if somebody started streaking while I was talking right now? And then he's like, wouldn't it be weird if somebody started streaking right now? And he like the camera pans right behind him and you just see John Cena just traps, just absolutely jacked to the max, looking fucking amazing.
Shredded.
And then he just like
not a hair on his body.
He's like, I don't want to do the, I don't want to do the streaker bit. Like now that I'm like looking at it, it's like very distasteful that you thought of this. Like, why did you have to drag me into this? And then he comes out and he does it, man. And he's like, got like one thing guarding his crotch, like some kind of
envelope.
And that's and the envelope for the winner for costume design. And he comes out and he's presenting. He's like, costumes might be the most important thing. Like if we didn't have them, everybody would be like this.
So it was funny. It was good. Like it wasn't
hilarious. Huge like ovation. Like everybody loved it. And there were some things tonight that didn't work.
Margaret was like scoffing. It was so.
Oh, great. She was like, "Damn, I want that piece of meat right there." Like that's what he looked like. He looked just like the dude in the gym in your locker room. That's just like walking around.
I saw a picture. He looked very naked. Like it looked like there was
was naked.
Did you see his butt cheeks?
If you were behind him.
Like, did he turn around?
He didn't turn around. Not on the telecast. He didn't
give us the ass shot that we all desperately wanted.
But then they cut to costume design, and then they come back to costume design after they show, like, all the costumes and whatnot. And now he has, like, a big dress on. So, yeah, it was just perfect. But there and were
that's
some...
That's the perfect mix dress for on? The Oscars, too. To, like, to mix in those type of guys. Like mix in a Cena who's not going to win something, but get them involved in the show, you know, because people, people like me that tune in and they're bored because they're like, I haven't seen any of these fucking.
Oh, no, if there's one thing people love, it's John Cena.
Yeah, and then John Cena comes out and bored. He's like, yeah,
Cena! Naked John Cena.
Yeah,
that's insane. Like, that's awesome.
Down syndrome kids that just love Cena and Taze.
It takes some balls to do that, too.
You know, having a guy like that do that, Bordy, I think it's a great point because, like, you know, you're tuning in and you're seeing them cut to mostly the same people. It's a lot of the Oppenheimer crew. So, like, Robert Downey Jr. and his wife, Susan, Emily Blunt and John Krasinski together, they're all sitting in the same area. A lot of cuts to Bradley Cooper with his mom. A lot of cuts to Margot Robbie, Greta Gerwig and Ryan Gosling and Billie Eilish sitting together. But some people that weren't there, Leo was not in attendance tonight. No shots of him. No Matt Damon. No Brad Pitt. And then coming off of Dune, no Timothy Chalamet or Austin Butler tonight. So like they did a good job. Like I didn't even realize that while I was watching it. I was definitely no Tom Cruise either. I was definitely looking for Leo. I'm like, why isn't he with the Killers of the Flower Moon team? But you know, he just didn't show up. Wasn't nominated. He's like, I'm not going to show up if I'm not nominated. How about
Killian's wife just not being that hot at all? Everybody else just kind of. I thought Killian. I clocked it. Get like a he can get like a Margot Robbie type level hotness, and just that must have been like a high school sweetheart or something.
Well, like Christopher Wayne Nolan's first thing. Wife. Like, you know, like Emma Thomas, as talented as she is, like Christopher Nolan, like, I don't know. It is Hollywood. You don't know how polygamous some of these people are, but they all have families. They've been with these people for years and years.
Yeah.
And then once you get this success, like, I think it's a credit to their character. Head
with that polygamous thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I know Borders theories on Hollywood.
You think he's cheating? There's no way. He's too good of a man.
Did want to credit two more people as well. There's two new faces that won tonight. We talked about Cord Jefferson a little bit. I think his story is so interesting. He's formerly a blogger. Is like this is the first movie he's directed, the first script that he's written, adapted screenplay he won for. So that was really cool. He's the one that gave that great speech. And then Davine Joy Randolph won for The Holdovers, which we haven't really talked about, but just a fucking awesome movie. Like
Holdovers is good.
The new
She's
Christmas
the best
movie
part of The Idol, too. If anybody watched The Idol.
She was good in The Idol. Yeah.
It's Rieberg's favorite show ever, but she was the most funny person in that show. Just like a
what show?
Bad bitch manager.
The Idol. The Idol. The weekend show.
Oh, okay.
The Lily Rose
Depp. The weekend sex fantasy. Yeah, she plays like
that. That got really bad. People hated that show. Like,
we're not talking about it anymore. We've already dedicated way too much airtime to that show.
They just weren't
that
horny
show.
Enough. They weren't I've never horny seen it. Enough.
I think Lily Rose Depp is just an absolute rocket of a female. You should probably hated that show.
You need to hook up with her.
Yeah, that should be your next target.
I mean, I'd be you don't have to twist my arm. I'm pretty all in for that.
If we're not trophy hunting, what are we doing?
Just imagine Johnny Depp being your father-in-law.
Yeah.
Oh my god, dude.
You'd have to wear way more bracelets.
I'd be more interested in him than her. Like I'd be like, what's your dad doing? Is your like does your dad want to like
This is a good segue. You guys want to hear my weekly dad joke?
Sure.
Oh boy, I'd love to.
Damn it. I forgot we were doing this. Fuck. Okay,
so last week
ahead.
It was kind of like a weekend update. Yeah, last week it was kind of like a weekend update type thing, but now we're gonna do dad jokes because you know we're all dads here.
Let's hear it.
We got some sons. We got some daughters.
I've never heard this before.
And it's on par with what we were talking about. Cerrone, what's a pirate's favorite letter?
R.
You may think it's the R, but really it's the C.
Okay. I hate you. I did not give him permission to do these. Like,
we just lost five followers.
He's like
3 seconds.
He's like, I'm gonna do a weekend update, like mimicking thing, and like just go with it. I was like, all right.
I've never heard that one before, so I'll give it to you. But wow, well,
this week's was a lot less racist than last week. So
yes, definitely a lot less. That's good. All right, this is a perfect opportunity to actually transition into our draft today. In light of the Oscars being tonight, we are drafting our favorite Best Picture winners of all time. We are going to draft 4 each. So each movie that we draft couldn't just be nominated for Best Picture. It had to win Best Picture. So just as a quick refresher, the last 5 movies to win Best Picture, obviously tonight was Oppenheimer. I'm going to see if I can do this actually off the top of my head and not look at the sheet. Last year was Everything Everywhere All at Once. Before that, it was Coda. And correct me if I'm wrong. Before that, it was Nomadland. So Oppenheimer, Everything Everywhere, Coda, Nomadland, and then it had to be Parasite, right? Did I get those right?
Yes, sir.
All right. I think I could actually go back to like maybe like 2005 if I wanted to, Should I keep going?
Yep. Okay. We want to see how fucking autistic you are.
You correct me when I'm wrong.
All right.
Okay.
You left off 2018.
I said Parasite 2019. So 2018 was Green Book. 2017 was, is that The Shape of Water?
Bingo.
Yeah.
Okay, 2016. That's Moonlight. 2016 is Moonlight.
You bet.
2015. Is that Spotlight?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Right. Jesus Christ.
What's that about?
That's about the Boston Globe discovering that priests were pedophiles and people not reporting on it.
Oh, that's with, what's his name?
Mark Ruffalo.
Rachel McAdams. Is Gyllenhaal in that?
Yes, I think. I don't know. I haven't seen it in a long time. 2014. Could you name me like 2 of the movies that were nominated in 2014?
American Sniper and Selma.
Okay. Fuck. Is that 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri?
Nope. Oh, that's the year. No. Nope.
That didn't win 2014. Fuck, it was 2014.
Oh, any more hints? I feel like I'm cheating. Okay.
All right, yeah, Birdman's all right, but anyways, so yeah, that was just, I guess, a trivia corner. I missed, so I had to stop. So we're each going to draft our favorite Best Picture winners. We're going to do four of them. It can be from any year, all right? I have the first pick. Bordy is the second pick. Cerrone is the third pick, snake draft style, so he'll have two in a row. Then back to Bordy. I'm just going to go first and foremost with the movie that started it all off. I believe it was 1973 is the year that it actually won because it came out in 72. I'm going to go with The Godfather, which is very simple. My favorite movie ever.
Cut in the theme song.
The best.
Yeah, like a song draft. Let's cut in the fucking soundtrack. That'd be sick.
And I'm not sure if it's a controversial take. I think it might be, but I like part one significantly more than part two, personally. I know a lot of people
more classy.
I would say part two won it too, right?
It did.
A year later.
2 years later.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Sting won in between that. Paul Newman.
Yeah. God, you know,
and then they just gave Godfather 3 a big fuck you.
That was the Goodfellas year, and that was the year that Dances with Wolves won in 1990, the Costner movie. But it got nominated, which is sacrilegious. I don't know why. All right, Bordy, you're up.
All right, I'm a first round pick's got to be a banger. I'm going with Rocky. I think it's
stolen right from under Cerrone.
Yep, I had to. Obviously, we're three Italians on this podcast, and we're also three partially retarded Italians, so we can really relate to Rocky.
I wouldn't say partially, I would say a good 85%.
And that's what Rocky was.
If you round up, I'm pretty full retarded.
Yeah.
And that's Rocky, I'm fine with that.
From Philly, a true underdog story, and just a banger of a first movie.
1976, like, nominated alongside All the President's Men, terrific movie, and two of my favorite movies ever, Network, Sidney Lumet movie, that's top 15 for me, and then Taxi Driver as well.
Yeah.
So one of the first Scorsese
good, good for Rocky. That's a good Rocky win too. Mm-hmm. It's just Rocky changed my life, man. It really did. I used to watch Rocky every night before every night before boot camp for like 2 months straight. I would just play a random Rocky movie, dude, and just get fucking jerked up in bed, dude. Just thinking I was gonna die. All right, I'm gonna take. It's me, right? I got two.
Yep. Back to back.
This is a huge turn for me. I will take. Man, I'm not gonna lie, man. Give me Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer. Man. I mean, I don't see, you know, that's a recency bias, but I think that
first round rookie
stands, I think that stands the test. And I could have taken that one or two. It doesn't matter, but give me Oppenheimer and give me, it's either one or two.
E.T. got snubbed.
Give me Forrest Gump. In the two hole.
Forrest Gump in the two hole. That's the Sam Bowie of – that's the Greg Oden of this draft right now.
That's
not only did Forrest Gump win, it won over Pulp Fiction. And that is just
– I love that.
And the Shawshank Redemption too.
Dude, I watched a whole behind-the-scenes documentary on how they made that movie. Unbelievable. This is a shout-out to the talent and work ethic and what they were able to accomplish with that technology back in those days. Give me Forrest Gump at the two-hole. I'm fine with that.
Robert Zemeckis directed. He also directed Back to the Future. And so he's always been kind of obsessed with, like, the technology that he can use, like, with the time era and kind of advancing
crazy.
It forward.
You got Forrest Gump shaking JFK's hand in like 19.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, dude. I'm fine with that. That's because I watched that recently. Kind of got it turning. But yeah, I'm fine with that.
Good movie.
Off to you, Nicholas.
I think you're going to have your foot in your mouth with that last pick because I'm picking an absolute banger here.
Don't say
one of the best performances of all time, one of my favorite actors, the man, Charlie Sheen, and it's Platoon. I think I saw this for the first time like 2 years ago, and it just hit me like right in the fucking chest. It felt like I stepped on a landmine. Like fun to one of those traps or something. I think somebody gets their leg caught in one of those crazy traps in that. And Charlie Sheen's development in that movie, like towards the end where he's just a sick fuck and is totally like lost faith in the world.
We're talking about Best Picture.
You know? I know. It's still a great movie. I was just...
True.
Well, that's stacked my favorite cast, part too, about you know, it. Defoe's in it.
But Forrest does Whitaker. Picture wow you? Like Oppenheimer's Picture did?
Well, I thought Best Picture means Best Movie.
It does.
Yeah, because yeah. I always thought that too, Cerrone. I always thought, like, oh, Best Picture is, like, the best, like...
That's visual cinematography.
Shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Cinematography.
Oh, so I'm completely wrong on this. Okay.
No, you well, got it.
Hand up, just, hand up accountability.
I thought it was look the coolest.
I still, you know what? After learning that, let's still take Forrest Gump. 10 out of 10 times.
We're supposed to be a movie podcast. You guys don't even know what fucking Best Picture is. Jesus. Platoon.
I figured it out last year.
Directed by Oliver Stone. Oliver really? Stone also did JFK. And he like
was made this his Oliver own Stone's first report. Movie?
He did Wall Street. No, he had done the. What did he do before that? He's made The Doors, Born on the 4th of July.
Kevin Dillon's in this?
Yeah, great director, great filmmaker. And then the other thing about Platoon is that Tropic Thunder, the RDJ, Ben Stiller movie, McConaughey, Jack Black, it parodies.
Greatest Platoon. Movie of all time.
Like, just possibly. A phenomenal film. Yeah.
God, what a fucking movie. Tom Cruise. Remember Tom Cruise with the headset? Take one step back and fuck your own face. God, dude, I won't even don't even start with Tropic Thunder because I'll be on it for like 30 minutes. But wow,
just the best.
That's like you have to watch that like once a month, and just
it's so and just fucking enjoy, funny.
Man.
Simple
yeah.
Jack, the absolute goat. Oh. Can't get enough of Simple Jack. All right, yeah, I'm going to go. I'll go early 90s too. I'm gonna go. Actually, no, I'll go 2007. I'll take No Country for Old Men.
Oh, fuck. I didn't even know that. Yeah, that's a great. Okay.
And, you know, it's interesting because this was the years competing with There'll Be Blood. I think we've probably talked about it on the pod, but just one of my favorite fun facts about movies is they shot in the same place at the same time. Two of my 50
yeah,
favorite
I
movies ever.
Yeah, I for a second thought that was going to be the same movie. I thought...
Martha, Texas. Insane. And there was a moment in There'll Be Blood where Daniel Plainview blows up an oil rig and No Country for Old Men had to stop shooting for 2 days. Because the smoke was still in the air and it was in the background
that's awesome.
Like on the horizon and stuff. So
that's fucking awesome.
Coen Brothers, yeah. Some of my favorite directors ever. Bardem, my favorite.
I almost favorite feel villain. Like PTA directed No Country. If you told me
yeah,
that,
right.
I would have believed it 100%.
It's more one crazy thing to keep in mind the next time you watch it. There's no music in it at all. The entire movie. Most of these movies are like so dependent on their score to like give you that emotional resonance. The movie is just naked when it comes to sound. It's all like naturalistic sounds, which is so fascinating. So, yeah, Roland and Bardem obviously reunited for Doom Part 3, so or Part 2. So that was great. So, yeah, I'll take No Country there. And I got another pick. And, yeah, I'll go with what I was going to take prior to that. Right, I should. Let me make sure I'm not missing anything. Yeah, I'll go with The Silence of the Lambs, 1991. Sneaky, just one of my favorite things to watch every single year. I probably watch it once a year at least around Halloween. You know, Hannibal Lecter,
Lambs.
Just a brilliant fucking film. Another one of those movies that just dominated at the Oscars. I think it won like 8 or 9 awards.
Yeah, sounds like that's a creepy fucking. Yeah, that's just a wild ride.
Would you fuck me? I'd fuck me. I'd fuck me hard.
Oh, dude, and he's selling that. Yeah, that's insane.
Love Buffalo.
How many movies? How many of these movies that we've picked are about mentally disabled people?
Godfather, definitely Sonny Corleone, like 100%. Santino's a
psycho. In that category.
Rocky for sure.
I took Rocky.
Silence of the Lambs. No Country. Yeah, 100%. Anton Chigurh is insane.
Yeah,
Oppenheimer.
It's good to build a movie around that.
You can make it.
I'm about to go with him. The most famous mental person, fucking Rain Man.
Oh no.
I saw this movie rips. I love old Tom Cruise. Old Tom Cruise is so good.
Is that 88?
That is 1988. It won over nothing I've ever heard of. But yeah, I just really like that movie. It's kind of a feel good movie, you know. Not many movies like it. So yeah, it brings in all my favorite things: betting, Tom Cruise,
autism.
Yeah, autism. Because I have an autistic daughter, you know, and I used to get mad when people would be like, oh, she could be like Rain Man, but like, you know, it would be kind of cool.
Then you watch with Rain Man, you're like, oh, I'm going to profit off of this shit?
Yeah, this sounds awesome.
Well, there's also The Hangover too, where Alan, they parody Rain Man and that, where Alan's at the casino table and he's got all the numbers.
With all the numbers. Yeah. Right. He's like, that's fucking a Rain timeless Man. Scene. Yeah.
Great gift.
All right, why do you groan at Rain Man? Do you, is that not like a...
Is it me again?
Or did I hate Rain Man, Morty. I couldn't stand this Rain movie. I literally
What's
hated
wrong
it.
Wrong with Rain Man?
I was like, this
you
is the worst
best
picture.
You watched it when you were too young and you were like...
No, I watched it last year for the first time. I was like, this movie sucks. Yeah. He just annoyed me. And Cruz is just such a prick to him the entire time. I'm like, there's like, they have no chemistry. Like, they hate each other. And then I guess they just love each other at the end. I don't know. I did not like that movie at all.
Well, all right, sorry. You got they two can't in a row. They can't all be home run picks.
All right, give me The Departed.
Nice.
I should have taken that.
All time
2006.
I think one of my absolutely just favorite movies.
Scorsese's first win.
Yeah, I know. Check out 2009 too. How did The Hurt Locker beat Avatar and Inglourious Basterds? That's insane. Mm. Someone must have been blowing Even somebody precious. For that.
A serious man up in the air.
Give me Departed at three, and then in the four hole. I'll close it out with Mr. Pitt and Gladiator.
Gladiator, bad fucking cleanup, dude.
Yeah, that.
You said Mr. Pitt. That's Russell Crowe.
I mean Russ. Or what am I? Oh, I'm thinking of Troy.
You're thinking of Troy.
That's a tough look. That's a tough look.
you could just go with Gladiator still.
Let me double down on Gladiator. I completely thought that movie was Troy, but Gladiator is also a banger.
Ridley Scott. Sequel coming this
year. That's even better. That's even better then, because Gladiator beats out Troy.
100%, I mean, it's a way better
Brad
movie.
Brad Pitt's looking good. Okay. Yeah. Jesus
Joaquin
Christ. I'm running low on sleep. But yeah, give me Gladiator at four. I'm fine with that.
Are you excited for the sequel?
Nightmares of a dog chasing him.
Is there a second?
I can't sleep.
Gladiator?
The sequel is coming out this year. Paul Mescal playing the Gladiator, and Denzel Washington is playing like the King Emperor.
Oh my God! Yeah, mm-hmm. Gladiator is insane. I watched behind the scenes of that too with him and the director, Mr. Scott over here, and it was like, yeah, dude, they're just like a masterpiece. They knew right away.
So,
but yeah, Troy, give a shout out to Troy. But yeah, I did make the cut there, Mr. Pitt. Jesus Christ.
All right, Bordy B, you're back up. It's your last pick. You have Rocky, Platoon, and Rayman.
That I do. I do have Rocky, Platoon, and Rain Man, and I haven't seen many other of these other movies. Like, I do like Titanic, but definitely not one of my favorite movies.
I love Titanic.
I'm just going to do one more scroll and take something off the board here.
I'm gonna take Gandhi.
Wow. You are not taking Gandhi right now.
Well, I haven't seen it.
Just take Godfather Part 2.
I haven't seen it. I know what Ralph's gonna do.
Godfather 2 is right there. Give me it.
Is your last pick, Ralph, two words in the title?
Where was it? No, it's one word.
Okay, fuck. Never mind.
I'm curious what you're going to guess.
Schindler's List.
No, I do love Schindler's List, but I need to revisit that before I can draft it. My last pick is going to be Parasite, 2019.
Oh my God, I forgot fucking Parasite. Yeah, that's a steal in round four.
Well, you know, I've got one.
You just took Brock Purdy for Mr. Irrelevant.
I got four decades on the list here. We got a 70s movie, a 90s movie, 2000s, and 2010s, you know. And just
well, how about we should this? Do a poll.
I'm gonna pick Dune 2 because I know they're gonna win next year.
No, you can't do that.
I picked Dune 2.
I don't know if it's gonna win for sure.
I honestly think I won that draft. What? We should do a poll on the page.
Hyping this up like it's fucking the greatest movie ever.
You do have a good list. So Cerrone has Oppenheimer, Forrest Gump, The Departed, and Gladiator. I have The Godfather, No Country for Old Men, Silence of the Lambs, and Parasite. And Bordy has Rocky, Platoon, Rain Man out of nowhere, and The Godfather Part 2. So those are four pretty good lists.
Let's put a poll up. Let's see a voting.
All right, I'll put a poll up tomorrow, and we'll get people voting on it.
I think my four are very votable four. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I just think, you know, like Best Picture, it's wishy-washy. Some years I'm like, yes, they nailed it. It's the best. But like I said earlier, like I've been less inspired the last couple of years with some of the wins, and it is what it is. You know, like I think the Academy, it's grown more diverse. I think they're figuring it out, but you know, there's a year like this, like Oppenheimer just had to win. It was the front runner.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Like sometimes the Oscars, like when it was Parasite and this year with Oppenheimer, it almost gets a little boring when, I mean, you just know the guy yep. goes up there and they read the nominations and it's like, man, this is going to fucking Killian. This is going to Nolan. Then it just becomes kind of stale. And I only watched half of it and it just became like this, like, because you got to think everybody else is there, like with these amazing performances, man. And you just got to watch the whole Oppenheimer cast over and over mm-hmm. and over. Just walk up. They thank each other. They think you're just like, man, like, fuck this. Like,
that's enough wins.
Do you think they yeah. get kind of annoyed? Actors are very like pompous and very like.
Yeah, no, I think the ego, they can definitely keep it inflated yeah, for 3.5 hours. Right.
Yeah. And you know, and Killian is funny too, because he's the most like humble. Robert Downey, I watch a lot of interviews when they were doing the press, and Downey Jr. always talks about how Killian hates praise.
Yeah.
And you could tell it too. He's just a super humble, like, thanks everybody but himself. Like even when he got the award, he seems very, you know, like down to earth and truly just loves it for the work and not for the fame. But yeah, you got to think like just over, I mean, it's just up and down and they're carrying fucking all this shit, but it is what it is, I guess. You know, they deserve it. One hell of a fucking movie. But
Bordy, I've got two suggestions for you based on your draft, and these could be for you too, Cerrone. Based on you drafting Platoon and you liking somebody go crazy because of war, The Deer Hunter won Best Picture in 1978.
Ooh, I've never seen that.
Christopher Walken goes absolutely insane, and there is a Russian roulette scene that scarred me for like 2 weeks after I watched it. It's De Niro, John Cazale. Who famously, I think you'd really dig it. Don't watch a pirated version of it though, if you can't help yourself. And then because you drafted Rain Man,
yeah,
Dustin Hoffman, part of a couple of different Best Picture winners, obviously Rain Man, Kramer versus Kramer, but his first win for Best Picture was a movie called Midnight Cowboy. And now you're going to see 1969 next to it. Don't let that hold you back. All right. This is one of the weirdest fucking movies I've ever seen. John
Voight. I fucking love Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Great movie.
Yeah. It's
just a banger. But yeah, this is the year that Midnight Cowboy won, the year that Butch Cassidy was nominated. John Voight is Angelina Jolie's father, and he looks like a male Barbie in this movie. It's almost shocking, like how this like pre-plastic surgery era. Midnight area.
Cowboy sounds really gay.
I think you'll really dig it.
Okay.
There's one like club scene like where there might be some acid and some weed involved in like the late 60s. Dustin Hoffman plays a guy named Ratso Rizzo. Damn. It's just
Ratso Rizzo. If you like
uncut gems, good time vibes, this will kind of give you that where it's just like, love oh, it. This is, yeah, it's anxious.
How about right, a guy being named Jerome in 1969?
Yeah, you got to love that, man. Jerome Hellman. That's sick.
You know what right, I can't wait for is the new Mad Max.
Oh yeah, Furiosa. Yeah, two months.
I forgot about those movies.
Should we do a looking ahead at movies coming out?
We could do that next week.
Not a lot, I don't think. Unfortunately,
it's not as stacked as last year. I will say that much. But there are definitely some movies on the slate that I am fired up about. Specifically, Furiosa.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Sure. Two.
To my kind of movie.
Yeah, Wonka 2. That'll be great. Yeah. All right, well, that's all we got for tonight. True. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for watching the Oscars, if you did. I'm excited to see what the viewership looks like for tonight. I think last year it was like 14 mil. And they're trying to get to like 22, 23 this year.
Was last year Will Smith? Was that last year?
That was 2 years ago.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah, King Richard here. Terrible year. Yeah, that's all we got. So thank you guys for listening. Make sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok if you're not already. And we will see you guys a little bit later this week. Talking college hoops, you know, we got conference tournaments this week. We'll have Reese Turner on. Maybe Pete will come out of the show.
Caitlin Clark's never lost a Big Ten tournament.
Shout out to Caitlin Clark.
Clark can eat shit. They hate to see us win.
They hate to see us. Yes, sir. Go Catholics. We love you. We'll see you on the other side. Peace out.